Well, Hearts, this is The Challenge, and I'm glad you've joined us today. I'm going to take you to a message I did some time ago, Jesus, the Remedy for Wrecked Lives. And there's a lot of wrecked lives around us, a lot of wounded lives, bruised lives, disappointed lives. But that's what this message is about today, and I trust that if you'll listen to it carefully, you might be encouraged. Jesus, the Remedy for Wrecked Lives, and may God bless you as you listen. This message today, I was sitting before the Lord, and He started birthing this message in my heart. I feel primarily it is for our radio and internet congregation, our electronic congregation, so I'm going to do it today. It has to do with Jesus, who is the remedy for wrecked lives. You know, there's a lot of wrecked lives in humanity. I mean, that's the reality. That is the reality. There are a lot of wrecked lives in humanity. There are a lot of wrecked lives in the church. There are lives that are in different levels of restoration in the church. There are lives within the church that are at different levels of being repaired, being restored. They have been redeemed. There are those in the church who really truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've been to Calvary. They've confessed their sinners, and they've asked Christ into their heart, and by faith have received Christ Jesus into their heart, and their lives are being restored. But there's a lot of damaged lives out there. When we stop and look at everything that happens to individuals, we wonder how we remain as functional as we do in so many respects. So we're going to go there today. Go and get your Bible if you would and open it. Firstly, we're going to go to Psalms 147 and verse 3. That's where we're going to start. Well, let me just go and do this right now. Can I? In Psalms 147, verse 3, the Word of God says, He healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. What does that tell you? That tells you that there are hearts that have been broken. There are hearts that are broken right this very moment. And who's binding up the wounds? Jesus. Jesus is binding up the wounds. And He is the only one who can bind up the wounds. Then we get to Proverbs 18:14. The Word of God says, The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? What does that tell you? The spirit. You see, the heart, the seat of the emotions of man, can be wounded. His spirit can be wounded. And I'm talking to people today who are walking around broken hearts, wounded spirits. I'm talking to people like that today. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 109, verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. The seat of my emotions has been wounded. And that happens in so many different applications of life. Only Jesus Christ can heal a wounded heart. Only Jesus Christ can heal a broken heart. Only Jesus Christ can heal a wounded spirit. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Now, what I want to do today, I feel this strongly. I've held this before the Lord, and I'm here today doing this for you because I know that so many of you are suffering from a broken heart. You're suffering from a wounded spirit. You've come through things in life that have damaged you, and it needs to be repaired. There's not a denomination on the face of the earth that can repair you. There's not a religious activity nor a religious organization on the face of the earth that can heal a broken heart, that can bind up the wounds, that can sustain you in your infirmity, that can heal a wounded spirit. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And today I'm going to point you to that one who knows everything that has ever touched your life. He knows everything that has ever wounded you or bruised you. I often pray saying, "Thank you, Lord, for delivering me off the scrap heap of humanity." I'll explain that more thoroughly in just a moment. But I often go before the Lord saying, "Thank you, Father, for delivering me off the scrap heap of humanity." May we pray. Heavenly Father, I am here doing this at this time because I believe it's ordained of you. And Father, there are people out there today from every walk of life. Laborers, businessmen, professionals, non-professionals, male, female. Father, there are individuals from every walk of life. And Father, so much of humanity is still walking around with wounded spirits, wounded hearts, broken hearts. Father, there's so much wounding in the spiritual, emotional realm, not to mention in the physical realm. And Jesus, you are the only one that can repair it. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to anoint me today in love, to help these precious souls understand more clearly. Father, I had to come to grips with these truths. I had to come to grips with these truths as well. And Father, I pray that you'll use me to help someone else better understand these truths themselves. That you, Jesus, you and you alone have the power, the love, the authority to heal these hearts, these spirits that are wounded and broken. And I'm asking for that in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me take you back to those scriptures I shared with you a moment ago. In Psalms 147, verse 3, "He healeth the broken in heart." If there were no hearts to heal, he couldn't heal broken hearts, could he? He binds up their wounds, emotional wounds, spiritual wounds. Proverbs 18:14, "The spirit of a man," if a man's got a strong spirit, that will sustain him in his infirmity. You see, if a man goes into a period of sickness with a strong spirit, that strong spirit can sustain him as he comes through that time of physical infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? But you see, if you go into a physiological problem, a time of physical disease and sickness, and the spirit has already been wounded, now you're suffering in two different arenas. Even the psalmist in Psalms 109 verse 22 said, "I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." But you see, he understood, he recognized that his heart was wounded, the seat of his emotions. The seat of his emotions. So when the seat of the emotions has been wounded, and when the spirit of man has been wounded, that individual is in trouble. Have you ever been to a junkyard? Somebody would say, "I don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about, Bob." Well, a junkyard is it's a scrap heap, if you will. It's a place of wrecked vehicles. Vehicles of different makes, different models. Different year models. Some of them are old vehicles that were scrapped years ago. And they're old. And they're sitting in the junkyard just sort of rusting away. So they got different year models. And some of them are fairly new. You've got vehicles in the junkyard that were totaled in the first 6 months of their life. Are you hearing something? They were totaled. They were wounded. They were bruised. They were wrecked, if you will. They were totaled. Even in the first 6 months of their life, or even quicker, they come in different colors. Are you hearing something? This is not just towards white people or black people or people of different, it's people of different colors. All of us are in the image of God, regardless of the color of our skin. We're created in the image of God. Then you find vehicles sitting in there of not only different makes and different models and different year models and different colors, but they have different equipment on them. Some were manufactured with equipment of one type, and others were manufactured with less equipment, some with more, some with less. Some have more gifts, more anointing, if you will, more abilities than others do. And we're talking about now those even before salvation. You come in the world with different proclivities, and you have people in different fields at different levels who are very, very good at that level, so they are equipped differently. We're not all equipped the same. All of us are equipped differently. But all of these have one thing in common. Regardless of the year, make, and model, regardless of the color, regardless of the equipment, they are, for the most part, no longer functional. They will not function as an operative automobile on the roads of life. And some are beyond repair. Some are beyond repair. Best body shop in the nation could not make them really viable again. And then there are those that are just used for spare parts. People go there and get the parts off of that vehicle that's been destroyed, and they use it with other vehicles. And that reminds me that there are those today who make merchandise for the people of God. There are those who are religious scams, if you will. They're religious scams. They have all kinds of money-making scams. They're out to fleece the people of God. They're out to play on their emotions. They're out to deceive them. They're out to milk them, if you will. And so you find that occurring in a junkyard as well. Now, tell what let's do. Let's bring this over now to the junkyard, if you will, the scrap heap of humanity. Because have you ever seen on TV, you see a colossal accident scene during a winter storm or snow and ice or weather, whatever, and you get semis and pickups and SUVs and mini cars and major cars. You see all these 100-plus cars at one time in the same accident. I've seen that. And then, you know, there's a television show called Highway Through Hell, which is in tandem with Heavy Rescue, that sort of thing. But it's about these wrecker companies that go out and salvage, or they sort out the vehicles that's been in these tremendous wrecks, and some of the stuff they go through to sort them out, and then they have to haul them off to somewhere place to be repaired if they can be repaired. But when you think about this now, we had a tremendous collision, if you will, between humanity and Satan in the Garden of Eden. There was a head-on collision between humanity and Satan when Adam and Eve disobeyed the word of God. And when they disobeyed the word of God and they lost their innocence, and that is original sin, and there's not a denomination, there's not a religious system on the face of the earth that can do away with original sin. Original sin can only be done away with by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sins and continues to cleanse us from our sin, and all the holy water, all the blessings, all the absolutions by any religious figure will not deliver you from original sin. That is a false doctrine of the Catholic Church. No. Original sin can only be handled by the blood of Jesus Christ when one is born again. But as I said, we had this head-on collision with Satan, with sin, in the Garden of Eden. And after that time, every human being born was born with a sin nature, original sin in their life. And then because of that, because of this tremendous head-on collision, if you will, with Satan in the Garden of Eden, all of mankind has been wrecked to some degree. And I'm talking to lives today. I'm talking to individuals today. Your lives have been wrecked from one source or another, for one cause or another, and there are different levels of damage. I'm talking to some people who are barely functional. You've been wrecked so badly. You've been treated in life so roughly, so badly, that you're hardly functional at all. And then there are others who are, yes, you're functional, but you're limping along because you're not your best. You have never been your best. You'll never be your best because you were damaged early in life. And nobody ever talked to you about the sins of the fathers. Nobody ever talked to you about the generational sins. Nobody ever talked to you about wounded spirits and wounded hearts. And nobody ever took the time to love you enough to sit down with you and say, listen, this can be handled. This brokenness can be healed. This wound can be healed. Jesus can do that. We see, I'm talking to people today who have a childhood filled with damaging experiences. You had a childhood filled with damaging experiences. Some of it was lack of love. Some of it was rejection. And you know, you hear me talk about the America that used to be when I lived, when things were a bit kinder and things were a bit more, if you will, well, not only kinder, but there was an affinity for one another. For example, we were raised as young guys to stand up when a lady walked in the room. We were raised to give a lady our chair if there were no other chairs. We were raised to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. We were raised to not tell lies, to be honest, and we didn't look at filth on television. We didn't look at filth in even the comic books we had. We didn't look at filth. Our minds were not seeded day after day after day with the filth of this world. But even so, the Second World War, men went to war and women had to leave the homes. And women went into industry, and women went into the factories, and many of them never got back home. And because of that, you've got children who are being raised in a one-parent home, missing a mother, missing a father. And I'll get deeper into that in just a moment. But you didn't realize that the missing of that mother in your life, the missing of that father in your life, the missing of that love and that, if you will, support, was a wounding and bruising thing in your spirit. So I'm talking today to hundreds and maybe thousands who have been wounded and bruised by life, by damaging experiences in life. Then I'm talking to those who came through adolescent years and you were damaged by bad decisions. Bad decisions. I remember in high school, I had a good friend, and he and I spent time together. We'd double date together, that sort of thing. But one night, he and another friend of his went off, and I wasn't with them, thank God. And of all things, they didn't need this. They came from good, solid homes, but they slipped into a junkyard to steal a battery, got caught, were arrested, and their lives were marked for the rest of their lives by that court record of having been caught for stealing. So many in your adolescence, you made bad decisions. You went along with things you should not have gone along with. You got involved in things you should not have got involved in. And because of that, wounded spirits, wounded hearts. moving from childhood to young adolescence, then we move into young adulthood. And how many people am I talking to today that in their young adulthood were damaged by bad decisions and bad experiences? You got involved in bad experiences. You made bad decisions. And many times those bad decisions led to bad experiences. And you have been suffering ever since. Rejection? That's a big one. A big one. Matter of fact, one reason that Jesus understands rejection so well, he understands the things you go through, because you recall in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus, said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, everybody, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You have to understand, Jesus understands. Jesus understands when you are laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. He understands your personal, private grief. He understands the repressed anger, the repressed hurt, the repressed rejection. You're trying so hard to forget that and ignore that and pretend that never happened, but it happened. It happened. It's reality. And I'm dealing with people today who have gone through years and years and years with wounds and bruises in the spirit, and they are being further damaged year after year after year by further wounding. As I said, all of humanity was damaged by the fall when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. All of humanity was damaged. Now, most, if not all of humanity, has been further damaged by life experiences. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. How many today are suffering insecurity because you didn't feel secure as growing up? How many of you are suffering today out of fear, insecurity? How many are eat up with anger because of rejection? How many are eat up with whatever emotion Satan has seeded your spirit and your soul and your mind with and damaged you, and in doing that gave ground to the enemy by wounding you and bruising you so that he could then, some of his spirits could invade you and drive you and make you something you never wanted to be? But I'm talking to people today who have come through years. How do I know some of this? I've lived some of it, number one. But number two, I've dealt with enough people. In all the years of ministry, I have dealt with people who have suffered all these things I'm talking to you about today. You're a part of our Challenge congregation. And I'm simply sharing with you today the reality of what some of you are going through and where you are today. You see, as I say, most all of humanity, if not all, has been further damaged after they came out of the womb. They came out of the womb damaged because of a sin nature. And now, because they didn't find what they needed at home, they didn't find the security. They didn't find the reception, the receptivity. They didn't find the love. And so they start seeking it in other experiences, in other means. Some sought relief through alcohol, and some of you still are. Some of you, you're trying to find what only Jesus can provide. You're trying to find it in alcohol. It won't do it. It won't solve the problem. It won't heal the hurt. It won't take away the pain. It will not heal the wounding and the bruising. Alcohol will not do it. And some of you came from a background in which your ancestors were alcoholics, and nobody ever taught you that you can be free even though they were alcoholics. Nobody has taught you how to draw a line in the sand. No one has taught you how that you can renounce the sins of the fathers, the ancestral sins. Nobody's taught you that. And you don't even know how to start out. Others of you, you've been seeking relief through drugs. Through drugs. And drugs like alcohol can never heal the hurt. It cannot heal the wounds and the bruises in your spirit. It cannot heal the brokenness that is in your life. And you have tried this and you've tried that. You've tried this experience and that experience and this product and that product. And you're constantly trying to somehow come to grips with it all and come beyond it and get some relief and feel good about yourself and feel good about life when then you're alone. You're alone. And it's time to go to sleep. Or the truth comes bubbling up to the surface, and you have to deal with it. Laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, not healed. Here comes a biggie. Here comes a biggie, and this hurts. I know this. Many have sought relief through sexual activity. Some were seeking love. They never really felt love at home. They never really felt loved. As a matter of fact, they grew up with a tremendous amount of insecurity, and because of that insecurity, and because they didn't feel receptive, they didn't feel like they'd been received, they were seeking to be received in another area, and for some it was heterosexual. For some it was heterosexual, but bondage is bondage. Whether it's heterosexual sex, or whether it's homosexual sexuality, is bondage. And those in heterosexual bondage are as active and seeking in heterosexual activity what those in homosexual activity are seeking, but both classes are in bondage. And I'm convinced of this. The longer I live, and the longer I'm in ministry, and the longer I just observe what's going on around me, I'm convinced that so many of those who are in heterosexual bondage, they get from one affair to the next. They can't get out of bed with this one till they're looking for a chance to get in bed with that one. And I'm talking to some people, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you're eat up with it. You're eat up with sexual activity and sexual desire. And you can never, ever, ever really fulfill it. No matter how hard you try, or how many different ways you try it, or people you try with, you never can fulfill it. And the same is true in the homosexual community. You've got some ladies right today who are in lesbianism because in a home they grew up, they said, if that is marriage, I don't want any part of it. I don't want to be in a marriage where a man treats me the way I've seen my father treat my mother. That is reality, people. That is reality. You've got the same thing in the homosexual community. Many had never really received the love that they wanted, the love that they needed, the love that they desired, and Satan came along and introduced them to a false sense of love, which was really nothing more than lust, but it had a certain amount of acceptance to it, and they bought into the lie. And having bought into the lie, they themselves are in bondage. Hear me carefully. I'm telling you, this is bondage. I have a heart. I have asked God, I have begged God, let this ministry be a ministry that helps those who are in bondage come out of bondage. You don't have to become a member of Challenge. You just have to be willing to receive help. And the Word of God can help you, and there's teaching that can help you. And once you understand the sins of the fathers, the ancestral sins and demons, once you understand deception, once you understand the wounds and bruises in the spirit, once you understand, yes, I can be free, but see, Satan has convinced you that you don't want to be free, that you're happy with the lifestyle you're in. I know better. I've had homosexual call me weeping, weeping. Bob, I want to be free. Bob, I want to be free. Lived in another state. But I'm saying to you today that some of you have been further damaged after your birth by the things you've come through in life. Some seek it through alcohol, some seek drugs, some seek it through sexual activity, and still others seek it by other means. They get involved in this and that and this activity and that. They're always striving, shoving, pushing, striving, trying to find some level of life or something in life that will bring them a sense of fulfillment and a sense of worth. A sense of fulfillment and a sense of worth. And it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. Because that they're trying to fulfill that with, that they're using, won't do it. Only Jesus can do it. You see, all of these things I've talked about only further damage the individual. They only further damage the individual. Let me take it a step further, may I? Say we're driving down the road. And I pass a church, or we pass a church with a parking lot full of cars. I know that in my heart of hearts, that inside that church, there are wrecked, damaged lives. Yes, sitting there while the choir is singing, sitting there while the prayers are offered, sitting there while the sermon is prepared and given. And yet, they leave there for the most part in the same condition they were in when they walked in. Why? Because they've got wrecked, damaged lives. We pass the church and I look at the parking lot full of cars and I know that there are those in there who have been damaged, wounded, bruised, the remnants of failed marriages. They went into a marriage with high hopes. They went into a marriage thinking, this is what I've been looking for all my life. This is that man that I've been looking for all of my life. This is that woman that's going to bring me satisfaction and fullness. But what went wrong? What went wrong? The marriage didn't work out. And there became periods of strife and division and anger and things were said that should never have been said. And things were done that should never have been done. And treatment was given that should never have been given. And now they're in the church. And the church is, really, folks, when you stop and think about it, church ought to be a spiritual convalescence center and a spiritual hospital, as well as a spiritual therapy center, if you will. It should, because we're in a mass of wounded, bruised humanity in every denomination, in every color, in every race. We're in a world of wounded and bruised individuals. So we pass the parking lot, and I know instinctively, I don't have to say a word, but inside I know. Why? Because I've been ministering to them for years. And I know that inside that church, regardless of its denominational level or label, regardless of its racial identification, if it has one, there are lives in there that are wrecked and damaged. There are individuals in there, the remnants of ruined relationships. And sometimes those relationships started very, very early in life, in a home, with a mother or a father who themselves were victims. You see, victims reproduce victims. Victims reproduce victims. And so many times, mom and dad came into the marriage themselves as victims, wounded, bruised, angry, spirit of anger, sins of the fathers, generational, all of that embedded in them. And unless they got it worked out with the Lord Jesus Christ, then that will become, if you will, their children will suffer from that as well. I know when I pass a church that, yes, there are those there with failed marriages. There are those in there with ruined relationships that have further damaged them. Then there are those sitting there, most likely many of whom have been to an abortion clinic. They've been to an abortion clinic, yes. See, church is not a place of perfect people. Church is not a place of perfect people. Church is a place for those who have been redeemed or those who want to be redeemed. Those who are seeking something better in life, something for eternity. They're seeking love. They're seeking fulfillment. They're seeking peace. They're seeking that which nothing else can provide. They don't even know how to name it, but they're seeking what only Jesus can give. I remember one time, years and years ago, what, back in the 60s, I went to a bridge one night to pretend to fish. I wasn't fishing. I was trying to get alone and hear God. And I said to God that night, standing on the bridge, why can't I be like other men? I knew the stuff I was fighting. I knew the war that rages against my soul. I didn't myself at that time did not understand all the wounds and bruises of the spirit. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand ancestral spins and sins and generational curses. I didn't understand it. It was only later, much later, as I came through life, as I came to really know the Lord and came to know the Word and came to know the reality of what this spiritual warfare is all about. The Word of God says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. There are those who have been to abortion clinics. Then there are some that are just seeking relief. They go to church, and they're seeking relief in their disappointment and the discouragement. They've been so disappointed in life. And they've been so discouraged in life. And they're seeking some relief from that disappointment and that discouragement. But I praise God for this. As I ride by that church, I also know that there are those in that church who have come through some of the trials and troubles and discouragement and disappointments and wounded spirits and wounded bruises and broken hearts and ruined relationships. And yes, there are those in the church who have come through divorces, but they have found Christ now. And many of them have found a new marriage and a new marriage in Christ Jesus. And many of them are walking in the joy of the Lord. And that gives me hope that maybe they will take the time to identify with and love these who are hurting so badly, these who have been so discouraged and disappointed and wrecked and ruined and hurt and bruised and wounded, that those in the church who do know Jesus, who have been healed emotionally and spiritually and are still going through other levels of healing, that they will take the time to love them enough around them that they will reach out to them and help them come through this same process with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these who are walking in that joy of the Lord and the peace of God, who've come through the time of disappointment and discouragement and wounding and bruising, they've had one source of relief and repair. One source, after they had tried everything else that Satan and the world had to offer, they finally got to Jesus, And when they got to Jesus, they found what they had been looking for all those years. Now, slow down. Remember this. You come into the body of Christ when you're born again as a spiritual infant. And then you've got to grow from parietheon, which is a spiritual infant. You've got to grow to technon, which is a spiritual adolescent. Then you've got to go to spiritual huios, which is spiritual adult. Not too many make it. We get out of the parietheon stage, the spiritual infancy stage, and we come into spiritual adolescence because we've spent some time in the Word and discipleship and understanding spiritual truths and applying those spiritual truths. But I'm afraid that too much of the church never really gets into spiritual parietheon. I'm still trying myself. I'm still working on it. I want to get there to that spiritual maturity. Some got to him before their lives were damaged and wrecked. I praise God for those. I praise God for those who got to Jesus before their lives were so seriously damaged and so seriously wrecked. But I'm afraid that many times they don't really identify with or understand the ones who have been damaged and discouraged and wrecked. I was saying to the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I think sometimes you may let some of us come through different stages of worldly living so that when you bring us out of those stages of worldly living unto yourself, save us, forgive us for our sins, cleanse our sins, heal us, if you will, emotionally, heal us spiritually. I think sometimes the Lord may let some of us come through stages of that worldly living so that when he saves us and brings us out of it, we will be in a better position to identify with those who are coming out of it or those who are still in it. You'll need to think about that. And then there were those who went after Jesus after they were damaged. Some came to Jesus before they were damaged. Others went to Jesus after they were damaged, and they found what they needed. They couldn't find it in religion. They couldn't find it in a denomination. They couldn't find it in a system of ritualism and routine, and they couldn't find it in CEO, if you will, Christmas and Easter only service. They couldn't find it there. No. They had to come to Jesus. They had to be born again. Had to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Some have sought relief in some expression of religion, and to this day, they remain unrepaired, still damaged spiritually, emotionally. They may have an emotional high for a few moments, but it doesn't last. Humanity, in some respects, is like a cluster of bananas. I was thinking about this the other day. Humanity, in some respects, is like a cluster of bananas. Some of the bruises show on the outside. You pick up a cluster of bananas at the store, you get ready to buy them, and you're looking to see how much is bruised. Some are bruised on the outside, but some don't show so much on the outside, but once you start putting the peel off, you find bruises on the inside, inwardly. The only evidence that you know when the outer shell is removed, that's when you find the bruising many times. You may not see the bruising on the outside, but when you pull the peel off, when you pull the peeling off, you find the bruises. And so you say to yourself, if the bananas could talk, you say, banana, hey, you look so good in the store. I mean, you looked all fresh and partially green, and I mean, you just looked great, and I brought you home, and now I've peeled you, and whew, look at the bruises. Banana, look at the bruises. What happened? If the banana could talk, it'd say, rough handling. Rough handling. I was handled pretty roughly. Yes, the bruises have not shown on the outside yet, but yes, they've been on the inside the whole time. And yes, it's just a matter of time. And till they show themselves on the outside. Some of you are like that. Life's handled you rough. Sometimes life handles us roughly. And sometimes physiological problems are rooted deeply in the spiritual and emotional damage that has been done to the individual. Did you hear me? Many, many times. I read a report one time from a doctor who had been in the medical practice for years, a lifetime, up in Kentucky, who said that he was convinced after all these years and years and years of medical practice and diagnosing and writing prescriptions that 85% of the physiological problems in the lives of human beings were caused by emotional, spiritual problems. The origin was not in the physiological. It was in the spiritual and the emotional realm. Now listen to me carefully as I start wrapping this up. Regardless of the wounds and the bruises, regardless of the damage done, Jesus Christ can repair and can heal every wound and bruise in your spirit, in your life. Are you willing to let him do that? Are you willing to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do that? Many have chosen wrong lifestyles because of the wounding and the bruising and the damage done in the emotions and in the spirit. Did you hear me? Please hear me. Please hear me. Many listening today, and you know those who have chosen a wrong lifestyle simply because they were so wounded and so bruised, and the damage was done in the emotions and in the spirits, and Satan used that to deceive them and bring them into a different level of bondage. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, listen to this carefully. Listen to this carefully. He went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he said this. They gave him the Torah to read. And he went to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He went to Isaiah. He's quoting in Isaiah here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, who went to the cross for you. He took your sins, those of us who have been born again, he took our sins upon himself and put those sins to death in himself so that we could be born again and become new creations and start receiving everything he has to offer. Listen to it again. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I don't care what kind of sin they've been in, Jesus said, how long they've been there, how deep they've been there. That's not the issue. If they come to me, all the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, I'll receive you. If you will come seeking him, he will receive you. In John 7:37, Jesus said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man who is wounded and bruised and disappointed and discouraged and been handled roughly by life, laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, but when you're alone, you know your true condition. If any man thirst, you want something better than what you've got, You want something that will satisfy you. You want something that will set you free and heal you and heal the hurts and the wounds and the bruises and the discouragement and the disappointment. Jesus. Do you thirst for that? Do you truly, truly thirst for that? Come to Jesus. He says, I'll meet your need. I'll meet your need, Jesus says. Yes, while the church oftentimes resembles a scrap heap of humanity, because there are wrecked lives in it, if Jesus Christ is presented properly, it can become a spiritual hospital. If Jesus Christ is presented properly, if the gospel is presented properly, that church can be a spiritual hospital where people are healed and set free, where spiritual, emotional, and yes, even physical healings can occur. I hope today that in some way this message has spoke to your heart. I hope that in some way you can be honest enough with yourself and enough be honest with God, enough to say, I'm wounded. I'm bruised. I'm like that banana that Bob was talking about. I look so good on the outside, but realistically, Lord, on the inside, I am bruised. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I wonder if you'd be willing to come to the Lord today and just simply admit that. I wonder if you'd be willing to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm bruised. I'm bruised, I'm wounded, I'm disappointed, I'm discouraged, I'm hurting, I'm this, all of this. Bring your burden to Jesus. Bring your lost condition to Jesus. I don't care how religious you are. That will not solve the problem, no. You got to be born again. The Word of God tells us that burdens are lifted to Jesus. He can lift the burdens. I'd like to close the broadcast out today with this, if I may. Father God, touch hearts now. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. They can come to you, Jesus, with all their hurt, all their grief, all their pain, all their bruising. Now, friend, as we're closing out the broadcast today, go to Jesus right now. If you need to, fall on your knees. Get alone. Get in the corner somewhere and weep if you need to. But say, Jesus, I need to be healed. I want you to heal the wounds and bruises in my spirit. I want to forgive those who wounded me. I want to forgive that one who bruised me. I'm willing to forgive and heal that child. I'm willing to forgive that parent. I'm willing to forgive and bless that person I married that so wounded me and so bruised me. That employer, that coworker, whoever it may be, that classmate. Go back years in your life if you need to and see where the wounding and the bruising began. And go to Jesus. And confess that you are wounded, that you are bruised. Ask Him to heal you, to bring healing. Maybe you're in a lifestyle that you should not be in and you know it. Whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, whatever it may be. Go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, this is wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. The lifestyle I'm leading is wrong. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to come into your heart and be your Lord. Ask Him to set you free. Ask Him to save your soul. And I'm talking to people today who are Christians, but you're in bondage, many of you. Why don't you come at this time and say, Jesus, You came to set the captives free. I'm a captive. Set me free, Jesus. Put me in a place, Jesus, where I can be nourished in the Word of God. Set me in a place, Jesus, where I can be loved, where I can be received, where I can be made whole in Christ Jesus. Just say to Jesus today, I need you, Jesus. I'm looking to you to heal me, deliver me, free me, heal the hurts, the wounds, the bruises. And then thank Him for Calvary. Thank Him for Calvary. Thank Him that on that cross, He who knew no sin became sin. So you could go to that cross and have your sins put to death in Him. Oh, child of God, come to Jesus today with whatever your need is. The greatest need you have is salvation. But you have other needs. Come to Jesus. And may God bless you as you do so. And in Christ Jesus, you'll find what you were looking for. Thank you for joining us today here on Challenging. Till we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.